This is episode 148 of the A-News podcast, which covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, see you at your favorite non-sectarian anarchist site, anarchistnews.org. A warning in general, these bits are written by two people and read by one of them in a third person. The pronoun I in this podcast is confusing and contradictory. The author may not be dead, but at least here is mighty hard to parse. Have fun!
You're Gonna Start a Fight and You're Gonna Lose by Julian Langer. So, I love Fight Club, both as a film and as a book. It's probably the work of fiction that has affected me the most. And I love Greg's editorial piece from episode 147 on the film. I too recently rewatched the film, but was struck by a different moment. This moment got me thinking about my anarchist praxis and rebellion. After intentionally losing a fight to the club owner where the Fight Club met, and thereby winning the fight, Tyler, the narrator, sets the group a homework assignment to start a fight and lose it. The film then undergoes a few comical moments where we get to enjoy a priest being hosed, a guy chasing down a cyclist, and Tyler slash the narrator again losing a fight to his boss, thereby winning the fight. There is an existential quality to the notion of starting a fight that you're going to lose. We're all born into a life that we will all die to. On a long enough timeline, the survival rate for everyone drops to zero. I like the absurdity that comes with that thought. The idea of eternal life seems to me to be a dreadful image of existence. Not sorry, transhumanists. One of the ways in which I rebel against this culture is as a lone wolf hunt saboteur during the annual badger call here in Britain. Animal liberation has been a source of personal liberation. The beauty that comes with the experience is also deeply tragic, as I know that it is a fight I will in many ways lose. I dealt with a number of traps this past year, but they targeted over 60,000 badgers in 2019. So while I had victories, I and the badgers and others involved in call resistance lost. There is a fury and revulsion that comes with this. Confronted with the question posed in the book of whether to choose either to be God's worst enemy or be nothing, thinking about how massively I lost, we lost, they won, I am Julian's smirking revenge. I will most likely lose again, as regardless of how hard I or other resistors fight, though perhaps we learn a little more about ourselves each time we do. Now I'm thinking about the moment when Tyler holds a gun to the back of the guy's head and asks him what he wants to be. I want to start fights that I'm going to lose. That seems to me to be a lot of what anarchists do, though not all. Anarchists go into fights with some degree of awareness that anarchists don't win these fights. There is a definite difference between Fight Club and Rebellion, where in Fight Club the fights I'm referencing were started to lose, and I've yet to meet any hunt saboteur who is trying to lose. Starting a fight to lose is obviously not the same as starting a fight knowing you are going to lose. Caring about speciesside towards one group of mammals might seem stupid. I mean, how many creatures died in fires across the world in the past 12 months, or drowned in floods? So much of this stuff is like quitting smoking on your deathbed. I will probably keep starting fights that I know I'm going to lose. What's new this week? Far-left anarchist to remain in custody until next week, from Hamodia, mainstream media site in Israel. An artist occasionally working for the biggest newspaper in Israel denies the court's legitimacy, refuses to post bail to get out. Quote, Gilad Ach, head of the right-wing Adkan, said that, quote, for 15 years, the anarchist group led by Polak against the security fence has led violent riots and attacks against IDF soldiers, and has been ensured freedom of action and speech despite the many injuries soldiers have suffered in these riots. At last, a historic injustice has been corrected with his arrest. We hope that from now on, the legal system will protect soldiers and back them up, preventing the anarchists from attacking them. Unquote.
I've got a bad feeling about this. From Anon by Peter Gelderloos. Peter is now taking advantage of Anarchist News as a place to publish his writings on cultural events, and we're happy to have him. This review is about Star Wars from someone who grew up enchanted with it and is now looking with a more critical lens. Quote, so, a priori, Disney had to make a crowd pleaser. They had to make something visually stunning, but plot-wise, tame and safe. Why not a remake? The wave of remakes sweeping Hollywood is not a simple fashion, but a calculated marketing decision. Movies that already got famous represent accumulated advertising capital, a brand that in large part will sell itself, and surely there is plenty of market research showing that boomers and Gen Xers are particularly prone to nostalgia, unquote.
Anathema, Volume 6, Issue 1, from Anathema. Another issue full of local goings-on, including a year-in-review piece, something about an energy sale, a reminder that Bernie is not the solution to our problems, an interview from someone who was there for the Battle of Seattle, and a piece about BlackRock, the biggest asset management firm in the world.
The Miraculous Northeast Militia, from Transmetropolitan Review, which is, as has been noted already many times, a site for myth-makers and tall tales. Here, the piece is quite brief and extols the actions and perspectives of an anti-gentrification LA graffiti group going by NEM, or Northeast Militia. Quote, "The actions of the Northeast Militia are not only inspiring, they're exactly what's needed in this time of homeless camps, greed, and psychopathic wealth inequality. The only way to depose this corrupt and brutal system is to constantly challenge it at every opportunity, using whatever means are effective. We hope the Northeast Militia continues its activities in Highland Park, just as we applaud the consistent resistance in Boyle Heights, a neighborhood that has gone on to inspire the world. Remember that Los Angeles Indie Media is still active and able to provide the same services as Athens Indie Media or the late Link Sunton Indie Media. Be loud, be clear, and never stop," unquote. Seems odd to me that this references projects that are barely hanging on, but okay.
Mutualism, The Wolf in Anarchist Clothing, from Medium.org by No Wing Anarchy. No Wing Anarchy revisits their anti-ideological stance here in a piece that does not seem to recognize or acknowledge any differences between mutualism and ANCAP, which admittedly might sometimes be a difficult line to find. Quote, "The mutualist looks at two people in the woods trading nuts for berries and says, 'Behold, a market!' Whereas common sense would simply see two people in the woods trading nuts for berries. The mutualist does the same when they refer to tribal and indigenous exchange as gift economies, something most people engaged in that type of activity would not even call their own actions," unquote. I am not hostile to the argument that this author is trying to make, but I wish they would do a better job. This piece is full of assertion, without reference to the many, many people who have gone before here, both con and pro, notably, for example, Sean Wilber. No Wing might be worth following for the drama of someone apparently teaching themselves about anarchy entirely alone. Just a guess.
A Worker Story Number 1 from Aotearoa Worker Solidarity Movement from a-infos.ca. A teacher in Australia explains how what seems like a good deal is not, confirms that the U.S. is not the only place to treat teachers like shit, how the only hope seems to be unionizing, which is a broken tool in a sparse toolbox, and how AWSM is as imaginatively stifled as most other WSMs.
Ah, Radio Berlin, Week of Solidarity with the Political Prisoners, from A. Infos. This is a note from Ah, Radio Berlin, transmitting a call from Chile for an International Week of Solidarity with Chilean Political Prisoners of October 18th. There is audio in German if you're into that sort of thing. The week of the call is January 13th to 19th. Quote, "Every week, this number of political prisoners in Chile increases. In a clear phenomenon of massive arrests, the state looks to scare and criminalize social protests. We talk about political prisoners of the revolt because the massive arrests of those fighting after the explosion of the revolt on the 18th of October responds to a political decision of the state and not to technical or judiciary criteria, putting in evidence the complicities of the different powers of the state, all with the purpose of perpetuating the existing control model," unquote.
Archive of Link Sunton Indie Media published online, from Anarchists Worldwide. Internet archivists put up the publications from the shutdown Indie Media site from Germany. Quote, 20 years after Indie Media was born and more than 10 years after linksunton.indiemedia.org started, we want to take up these words and reignite the solidarity. On August 25th, 2017, a few weeks after the powerful actions against G20 in Hamburg took place, law enforcement and politics struck back and banned linksunton.indiemedia.org, at that time one of the most important platforms for exchange of thoughts and discussions. When the site was shut down, 10 years of activist movements, history got lost. Or not, unquote. This archive is static, nothing new will be added, there is no commenting, and it is available for downloading. Do we learn from history?
If Yobo's notes made it back to Terra, Ursula Gwynn versus Hollywood. From Anon by Peter Gelderloos, who is worth reading no matter what name he is writing under. This is a comparison slash review of the Cameron movie Avatar and its ripoff of Le Guin's novel The Word for World is Forest. Quote, "It is interesting to note that Ursula's novel has been mischaracterized as pacifist, no doubt as a way to neutralize and recuperate what is in fact a revolutionary story. This is an intentional misreading. Ursula never condemns armed resistance by the Escheans. In fact, she clearly portrays it as necessary to their survival. What she actually does is to complicate this resistance by raising the very ethical, very anarchist question of the effect of organizing systematic violence on those who resist. This is also one of the central questions in Freddie Perlman's Against History, Against Leviathan. Freddie makes it clear that the physical elimination of Leviathan can never be the primary task of those who rebel. Rather, their task must be re-inhabiting the world as a community of living things, expressed as a subversive dance that removes the leviathanic psychological armor and knocks down the obstacles to free life. In other words, a process that is simultaneously destructive and healing." Unquote. Peter doesn't compellingly back up all his assertions here. For example, he says that Avatar, quote, "presents as credible the myth that capitalism's energy problems will have a technological solution," unquote. If the point is that the colonialists believe that a tech solution is possible, surely that's completely consistent. But regardless, Avatar, or as Peter argues, Dances with Wolves 3, is a travesty, and anyone who calls down wrath upon it is okay with me. Also, this line is worth considering. Quote, "Those who fight capitalism would be well advised to pay close attention to the sort of things that capitalism dreams." Unquote.
Audio and video, Anthony DeFranco on Counterculture Labs, 45 minutes from C4SS. C4SS promotes this episode as continuing to, quote, "touch on anarchist thought in action by taking a close look at Counterculture Labs, a group of biohackers in Oakland which houses the Open Insulin Project," unquote. I'm not really sure that torturing the statements of a definitely not anarchist project, they are going to work with their, quote, "allies in Congress," unquote, into something radical is touching on anarchist thought in action. But here we are. Beyond the embarrassments that come along with C4SS, I guess it's cool to hear about people combating specialization or whatever, and also making vegan cheese. Tasty!
Perspectives from Iranian Anarchists, 1 hour and 10 minutes from Final Straw. Quote, "A chat with a translator of the Anarchist Union of Afghanistan and Iran to share perspectives from membership in Iran and abroad about resistance to the regime from within, solidarity from abroad, the impact of U.S. saber rattling," unquote. A pretty pleasant conversation on the current situation in Iran and Iranian anarchism. This type of interview is always somewhat disorienting for me as I try to balance knowing so little about an area, not necessarily trusting the speaker's broad view of anarchism, and also trying to check my own biases. Welcome to my neuroses, I guess.
Anarchist analysis of far-right Hindu nationalism, 1 hour and 20 minutes from IGD. An interview with Sarang Narasimhai, quote, "an anti-colonial anarchist on the rise of the far right in India," unquote. As with most things IGD, this episode promises anarchist analysis, but in reality it delivers leftism. Although in Hindutva and its attendant factions are definitely fascinating, and the interviewee provides a good overview of their development, the only real analysis outside of a geopolitical context is that Hindu nationalism is bad, we should have a united anti-authoritarian front against it, whatever that means, and we should do something around Indian embassies. You know, total fucking anarchy!
The Brilliant, episode 100, Revisiting Anarchist Nihilism. 1 hour and 25 minutes from The Brilliant. Episode 100, woohoo! Quote, "ultimately, I am not a nihilist, but this might be a de jure versus de facto kind of distinction that people hate hearing people drone on about. No matter how we land on this question, the little thing I wrote nearly 20 years ago on the question did force it to be an ongoing concern of mine. The question about whether there is a difference between belief in the good, i.e. anarchy, and Christianity, is more important now than ever. Additionally, who does faith in ongoing social change, in a good way, benefit? But the truth is that there have been better, more pithy, less chained critics of activists and other Christians than I have ever been." Unquote. A look back and ahead at nihilism, anarchy, and their discontents. Listen to it! Ta!
topic of the week, niches and roles in ecosystems. Oh my. This week, ANews Moderation was once again impugned. A member of the collective brought up that no website can or should try to or will ever satisfy all the people's needs. If a healthy biosphere, to work a metaphor, has multiple options to meet various needs, or brains, to use a different metaphor, after damage can build different connections after to re-enable skills and memories, then what are ways that we can right now get our needs met? Or perhaps more clearly stated, how do you use your different anarchist connections differently? How does Rattle work for you in ways that ANews doesn't, and vice versa? What, if anything, is Reddit good for? Do you find things on IGD or CrimeThink and then go looking for conversation elsewhere? Are there local sites that work better for you in terms of meeting people face-to-face? How have you crazy quilted a working system for yourself, and how does the connection of online to offline work for you? Or how would you like it to work for you? If ANews and other forums are filled with people who only loathe online communication and wish only for apparently impossible face-to-face interactions, what does that say about the level of communication that can happen here, and also about the agency of such folks?
Well, this is, in fact, it's both a complicated and very simple question. On some level, I strongly recommend people stop using the internet as their main only primary way in which they try to resolve the questions they have about the world and how to resolve how they want to do anarchist-related stuff. And then this question becomes very simple. It's kind of irrelevant. But to the extent to which ANews and a lot of other internet stuff seems to be filled with people who are obsessed with using the internet to solve all their problems, of course, the answer is your problems are never going to get solved. But then perhaps more meaningfully is like, what are you doing otherwise? In other words, how are you creating the world that you want to that looks like the kind of anarchist world that you want to. And I'll say for myself, given that I've been canceled in the past couple of years, that if it weren't for my household, which is about 10 people, all anarchist-type people, who on some level share a lot of projects and, more importantly, a lot of political agreements with each other, I would probably be bereft in exactly the way that many of the ANews commenters are bereft. In other words, I'm surrounded by all the interactions, all the social interactions I want to be surrounded by, and I don't feel a great emptiness or sadness because I don't have what it is that I truly want. I in fact do have what it is that I truly want. I'm surrounded by people that I like, and by and large, we get to talk about what we want to talk about. Yeah. Corey, thoughts?
Yeah. So to meet people, I'll do things like go to the local meditation center, go to the gym, go to work. And I feel like my life is full of people. I'm a little bit of an introvert, so I'm pretty intentional about meeting people. But I definitely do not only mingle with the anarchist type people that I live with. I definitely have a day or a week or a month full of interacting with other people around me in completely different contexts, and quote unquote anarchism is not the topic of conversation or the reason to be together. It's the interaction.
But it is important to mention that both of us are older.
We are older, so maybe there's like some maturity there in having it. I don't know. Maybe I'm being catty about this, but the question to me seems a lot about maybe the question is geared toward or just happens to be about people who spend a lot of time looking at quote unquote anarchist sites. And to me, that's not how to be an anarchist.
I think that when I was referring to us being older, I was pointing more in the direction of the fact that we don't see the internet as the natural way in which we experience the world or our social lives.
I think if I'm honest, I've sometimes feel more comfortable with interacting on the internet, but I think that I choose to not do that. I think I could fall into that rabbit hole and be in it, and it would be a rabbit hole for me because it's not a given. It would be kind of a choice or an accident because of my age. But I very intentionally will allow some lady next to me at the gym to strike up a conversation and try for a day or two at least to remember her name and make a little bit of an effort. I mean, I think I'm intentional about doing that. Of course, there's an age aspect. I'm not as immersed in the online experience as somebody younger than me, but that doesn't mean I haven't made a choice that I think is, I'll just throw some morality at it, that I think is a better choice if what the goal is to have face-to-face genuine interactions.
What's interesting about the comment thread to this particular topic of the week is that mostly it immediately veered off of the topic and landed mostly on the question of trolling and being anonymous. Anarchist News is an unusual site for allowing people to comment while being anonymous with no indication of who they are.
Which brings out their worst qualities often.
Yeah, I mean, that's the open question, right? You know, there's absolutely a group of people whose comments get removed all the time, who sort of blame, like who take it personally and sort of blame the moderating group for being, for moderating. Whereas obviously a lot of people consider the nastiness of anonymous comments to be exactly as you say. It used to be that the site moderated far less. So like nowadays, if you say mean things, you get moderated fairly frequently. And it used to be that mean things were a lot as a percentage of the comments entirely. And so there's a question of like, as sort of comedy got deleted from the site, that it sort of destroyed the spirit, and it took a lot away, and that's continues to be an interesting question. But the problem is that because Anarchist News is the only site of its kind, there isn't enough space to do the kind of experimentation that could be interesting or could be good. So you know, as an example, it would be great to do things like try a week of basically zero moderation, try a week of really trying to move the conversations in a positive direction, you know, by way of deletion. Uh-huh. Like, have you had any experience with trying to do that kind of interaction on the internet? Like,
no.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been in charge of these projects or a moderator of a project like this.
Right. And I assume, to the extent to which you've seen meditation-type forums, I assume that trolling isn't really as big of an issue for that.
Well, I mean, I think I can make a pretty soft analogy. It won't be a hard analogy here. There was a meditation class I chose to take a couple weeks ago, and I met a stranger there. We were side by side on the meditation mat for a week of consecutive days. And so by the end of that week, she had been in from out of town, out of state, actually. And she wanted me to spend her last day in town with her to drive her around and like do some touristy stuff if I was willing. And I was. And she, outside of the meditation hall, had plenty to say about Donald Trump. I don't care. I'm not interested. I, you know, right away, I'm tired of hearing it. So I can analogize this to the less useful or less interesting kind of comments mm-hmm. that come through on a comment thread. You know, she was trying to have a quality time day with me at a botanical garden. In fact, you wouldn't think Donald Trump would be on the agenda, but that's what she knew to talk about. That was sort of her personality and her interest and everything. And so just like moderating, you know, you're moderating a comment thread when you're in a conversation. I'm saying this with a kind of a wry smile on my face because like these are conversations and conversations are these. They're not different in kind. They're different in format. They're different in venue. They're not actually different though. And so I would just gently bring her around to the present, you know, like I'm not trying to be corny here. I'm trying to say how to do it, how I do it in real life. And I bring her around to, you know, whatever we're doing at the moment or whatever we're experiencing or what we're going to do in an hour from now, you know, what are we going to have for lunch? Kind of more real topics. And I think that people should do that more. I'm never going to see that lady again. I don't intend to pursue a long-term relationship with her. Sure. But this is a question, the topic of the week question is about how to have a quote-unquote apparently impossible face-to-face interactions. And I'm saying that you have to, one, get away from your tight identity of being an anarchist. And I know this is not Aragorn talking. This is just me talking. This is just me. And it's kind of a pet peeve of mine if people have such strict identities that they want to only be with people who share their interests. You know, have more interests is my answer to that. And I'm an introvert. This is absolutely coming from a person who's been introverted since childhood, pretty hardcore. And so, you know, open up a little bit and then stay in the present and then moderate your conversation. You can have a conversation with very few conversation skills. I don't have many. And be willing to practice. You have to practice at things to be better at them. So go with some stranger to a botanical garden or whatever the equivalent of that is for you. You know, take a friend you don't know very well, kind of an acquaintance, to a concert or a party or whatever. And just you went to a party with someone who wasn't your best friend. Good for you. It's great practice. I'll stop, but that's my rant. Like, stop. Like, I think that a lot of people who are online, I just suspect, are having a lot of time online, and B, want to have face-to-face interactions, but C, are having really rigid identities and not willing to just talk to whatever people are around them. I don't know.
Thank you very much for the provocation.
This week's podcast was sound edited by Lynn O'Mabel. The What's New was written by Jackie and Greg and read by Chisel and Greg. Guest editorial by Julian Langer, read by Chisel. We thank Aragorn and a friend for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littlebyheart.com for news by and or about anarchist up to minute commentary. See you at anarchistnews.org and or the Anarchist News IRC chat room linked on eNews. We'll be right back.